I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and what I'm going to talk to you a little bit about is environmental public health tracking. This is a national program, and it has a lot of states who are grantees who are actively participating and some that are inactively participating as well. I can't even name all the people who are working on this project nationally, so I just want to say from the very beginning, I'm honored to be the voice of all of them here today. Any number of the grantees, and I'll put up a map here in a little bit, if your state is one of them, I encourage you to interact with the folks in your state who are participating in environmental public health tracking. I've got the web addresses both for the CDC as well as South Carolina here as well. And I think this is a really important thing. We talk a lot about different silos, but really and truly the environment and health have always been related. And we use this quote in South Carolina in our program to kind of remind us of that on a daily basis. If you want to learn about the health of a population, look at the air they breathe, the water they drink, and the places where they live. Environmental public health tracking is a CDC initiative. The goal is to have a nationally integrated database of both health and environmental data, hazard, exposure, and disease, in the hopes that if you standardize, if you have apples to apples data and more of it available, more people will use the data and hopefully identify any associations that we may not be aware of, and certainly to track things like health-related issues associated with climate change, which I'll speak of in just a moment. This all originated in the late 80s, 90s, and in 2001 with the Pew Environmental Health Commission report that recommended the formation of a national tracking program. It was after that report that Congress funded the CDC's initiative, and there is now the Environmental Public Health Tracking Branch at the CDC. I was real honored in this room right before this session. Dr. Tom Burke was here, and I actually got to meet him. I'm quoting him frequently from the CDC's publications. He said back at the initial formation of EPHC that we can track the flu, West Nile virus, and mad cow disease, but not enough of the chronic illnesses that are the biggest killers of Americans because we don't have enough of the basic information. And also, and this I think is really important, if you don't have data out there, fundamental questions won't be asked and can't be answered. In other words, if you don't have the infrastructure to collect and make data that we all collect at the state level more readily available, people aren't going to use it, and we're not going to learn what we are capable of learning if we do have it. Environmental public health tracking hopefully fills that need, and it allows, the CDC actually defines it as the collection, integration, analysis, and interpretation of data about, again, environmental hazards, exposure to those hazards, that's a real important piece of it, and then health effects that are potentially, I use the word potentially, they're related to exposure to those hazards. CDC, when they initially developed this project and program, they assembled work groups that include people from federal agencies, state and local public health and environmental agencies, non-governmental agencies or organizations, and academic institutions. I will say this, EPHD is kind of a rule by committee. We do most of our business on conference calls. As you know, the more people you have on a committee, the harder it is to come to consensus. So it is a consensus building exercise and a process that we go through to identify what we're going to track. This is the program in a picture. I think a picture is good. And you have here the hazard, exposure, health effect, the ongoing evaluation. The dissemination of the data is really where this program ends. We look to encourage the use of the data, but we don't really do research. It's not a research project. It's a project to make data more accessible to the research community. Just some terminology before I talk about the climate change domain is there's, or the domains related to climate change, I should say. Domain is the large category. An example here I use is air quality. Indicators are things that kind of help define that domain. In this case, it's PM2.5 and ozone. And then the measures are the actual specific data categories. They had to start with what you would imagine to be, and what's often referred to as low-hanging fruit. In other words, what data is available? I see this program continuing and getting more into the other types of data and encouraging states to collect data that maybe we're not collecting right now. But we had to start, the project had to start somewhere. These are the domains currently. There's air quality, birth defects, drinking water, cancer, carbon monoxide poisoning, childhood lead poisoning, hospitalizations for asthma and NCIs. Vital statistics is a low birth weight and some other birth statistical data. And underdevelopment are the climate change and pesticides areas. This presentation that I'm going to talk about in a minute about climate change parameters will be much more fleshed out a year from now than it is today. But there is good progress being made. And again, the final product of this program is data. And we hope that we encourage stakeholders, whether it's the general public using the data to come up with a grant application to remove lead from public housing, or whether it's policymakers looking forward in time dealing with climate change issues. We certainly hope the data that this program makes available will contribute to some of those. Again, it allows, hopefully, people in government to make better decisions, to identify potential linkages and trends, and ultimately the main goal of any public health program is intervention. This is a map of the states that currently are engaged actively in this process. South Carolina joined the active bunch in 2009, and we're real happy to be a part of it. These are just some screenshots from the CDC's program. You'll see environment, health effects, info about location. Again, just screenshots of their site. You can click on a state. Even the states that are not active, there is some data there because they get some data from national repositories of data. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about climate change. It is a group that the work is in progress for, so I can't give a whole lot of details. But you'll see on the CDC's webpage it says new data will include climate change and developmental disabilities. Those are two of the ones that are in process right now. Paul English, who co-chairs our climate change work group, said this, and I think it's very true. In order to develop public health adaptation strategies, evaluate their successes and project the impacts of climate change on human health, indicators of vulnerabilities and preparedness along with accurate surveillance data on climate-sensitive health outcomes are urgently needed. And the challenge for this group is coming up with those. We had an enormously lengthy conversation on what is hot. In South Carolina, 85 is a cool streak in the summer. But 85 in other parts of the country is obviously much warmer, or feels warmer to the folks and has more of an impact. So the attention turned pretty early on in looking at the end results of the heat. So let's track heat-related emergency department visits, heat-related hospitalizations, heat-related mortalities, that kind of thing. Again, we had to look, and we are still in the process of looking, to see what data is available that would fall within these categories. What are potential sources of nationally available data? So right now, and again, these are very early, so very early in the process, these are proposed health-related climate change measures, indicators and measures, and heat-related health outcomes certainly is an important one, and that's a pretty obvious one. We can get this data fairly easily from the codes that hospitals put on things when people visit the emergency room or admitted, or worse, certainly have a fatality. HABS is another one. We're looking at, again, health indicators in humans and tracking the health in canines as well. You heard that referenced earlier, and other animals. This group is still, again, working on coming up with the details, but at some point, hopefully within the next year, you'll be able to go to any of these tracking sites in any of the states that are participating will have data on these different categories. Pollen is another one. Oops, sorry. There are a long list of non-health-related things that are being tracked as well. I'm focusing today on the health-related ones. But, for example, HAB extent, annual miles of shoreline affected by HAB events and water body is another one. Sorry. Pollen, certainly, if you have warmer climate, you have lengthier seasons for plants that produce pollen. You can look at asthma. You can look at pollen counts, what's a reliable source of that data? Those are all the kind of questions that are being answered. New Mexico EPHT has a really neat program on their home site that shows, it's a NASA-funded program, that shows dust forecasts, and they're looking at ways to take that data and forecast the amount of pollen, for example, that's contributing to that dust. Forming new partnerships, this has really been a great project to allow all the states to work collaboratively together. as well as with other federal partners. We worked with NOAA, I'm going to show you a little bit of that. We developed a coastal environmental health landing page on South Carolina's EPHD homepage, where you can click on the picture or the categories at the bottom and get, this is our beach monitoring system maps. You can get NOAA's video on dolphins, which is really great. If you haven't seen it, you need to. There are online orientation courses for EPHD. This is the link for that. NEHA has done a really good job, and it's very thorough. It's a lot of reading, but it's a very thorough overview of the program, much more thorough than I could give here today. And with that, I'd be glad to take any questions. And again, I hope within the next year, there'll be a lot more details available. This is a platform, this program provides a platform from which data can be distributed to stakeholders, and it's on any number of health and environmental domains or categories. My staff gives me a hard time. I can't do a presentation without a quote in it. Any questions? Yes. If you look at the CDC's website, there currently exists as a socioeconomic category, and I'm not specifically sure what information they have there, but you can go to their site and see it. It is something certainly that's very germane to tracking, and it's data that's available, which is our key. On the South Carolina portal, you can click on a county. When you generate a map, you can click on a county, and you can get the demographics for that county by age, race, and gender, so very basic demographics, but it's more readily available and accessible than it was previous to this program. Yes?
Thank you for your presentation. I think this is an incredibly important program, but my understanding is that it's been proposed for elimination in the current budget proposal. Is that still the case, and what can they do to cut that?
Well, I appreciate the question very much. I don't work for the CDC, but certainly we are engaged with them in conversations, and there is a very real concern that it will be omitted from the future, from the current negotiations going on about budgets. I would encourage you to speak within, probably the best way to do it is within and through associations, CSTE and some other professional associations, and make sure that they are expressing the need for the data availability in order to make better decisions going forward.
Thank you very much.